Hello, you're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm Laura Evans and this is the Brighton Business Show. Broadcasting monthly, you can hear from local entrepreneurs, find out about schemes you could be taking advantage of, hear about events you might want to attend and pick up tips from business experts. Our sponsor is Entrepreneurial Spark, powered by NatWest. And on today's show, we've got the elevator pitch. Maybe you should give it a go, listen in and find out what it's about. Julia Chanteray's Tales of Everyday Business Folk continues. In this episode, is Claire about to make a big mistake or change her life forever? Stuck for ideas for your blog or your marketing? We're talking about sourcing content ideas in Sophie Turton's Mega Marketing Tips. Mojo Coffee, another chicklet at Entrepreneurial Spark, tells us what they find challenging and their top tips for overcoming the hurdles of business life. Rebecca Groves of Wired Sussex has a new event coming up, Talent 2017. Don't miss out, hear about that. And Susan Carroll talks about why having vision in your business is important. Right, starting off as usual with some local business news. Send me your news, I'll give you a mention on the radio. Tweet me at Laura of Brighton or visit lauraofbrighton.co.uk for all the details about how to get involved with the show. The Time to Give Ball is coming up on April the 6th and it's an exciting evening where great prizes are auctioned off in return for time spent helping charities. Check out timetogive.org.uk and that's two as in the number two. Congratulations to StoryStream, who have been selected as one of 33 of the UK's fastest growing startups for inclusion into Tech City's exclusive Upscale 2.0 coaching programme. They're expecting some exciting company growth there. See storystream.it for more. Belong Conference launches in Brighton on the 28th of March. It's a conference about acceptance, community and belonging, brought to us by local entrepreneur Alice Reeves. It's about making the world a better place, a worthy cause, right? So see their speaker lineup and to book, visit belongcon.com and it's only £10. Coffin Mew are to merge with Charles Lucas and Marshall, creating a legal services business and taking the firm's size to well over 200 employees across offices in London, Portsmouth, Southampton, Brighton, Gosport and now Newbury, Wantage and Swindon. Congratulations. Always Possible, a full-service planning, managing, training, research and communications company is giving away over £10,000 of bespoke organisational support to small to medium-sized businesses and entrepreneurs. To win, enter by making a short video about your organisation and what sort of practical support could transform your work. Share and tag it with hashtag challengealwayspossible and email challenge@alwayspossible.co.uk with a link and contact details. The deadline is the 31st of March, so get it done before then. Spring Forward is a month-long celebration of the role of women in digital culture and runs throughout March in parallel with Women's History Month. They are looking for sponsors. Visit wespringforward.com to get in touch. You might have heard them on the show in previous years. The Swift Project, run by charity Sound Architect, offer free support to women in and around Hastings who want to expand or set up a business. They recently received funding through the NatWest Skills and Opportunities Fund to continue their work. Participants can attend workshops, peer-to-peer groups and receive mentorship. The project also looking for volunteer mentors, so that if that is of interest to you, get in touch with them at swiftproject.org.uk. Exciting news for Hisby Supermarket. They're hoping to open a second store in Kemp Town. They're looking for you to help by offering your time, skills or money. They are just £20,000 away from the £85,000 needed to hit their target to open the new store. If you can help, contact ruth.anslow at Hisbe, that's HISBE.co.uk. And check out the Breaking Big Breakfast, hosted by business doctors on Wednesday the 15th of March at Platform 9. Review where your business is right now and identify where it should be going. Find out more at platform9.com, and that's platform with, instead of an O, they've got a 9. So check that out. Oh, I just ran out of music, so just made it in with that. And that's this month's Brighton Business News. Conference season seems to be kicking off then. And yeah, let me know if you have any news. Send it in to me. Tweet me at Laura of Brighton, or visit my website, lauraofbrighton.co.uk. Send me an email and get in touch.
Radio Reverb.
I probed into its mysteries. Every clue told me a different story.
Radio Reverb. So why not send me your business news, hear your name on the radio, or maybe if it's slow news month for you, how about doing the elevator pitch challenge instead? So pitch your business in a minute. Can you explain who you are, what you do, and why anyone should care? That's your elevator pitch. You're going to knock it out at events and when you meet people, so it's good to have a practice. Who's doing it today? Let's find out. Guest number one, are you ready? Ready, set, go.
Hello, my name is Sam Keem. I'm co-director of Recharge Cargo. We are a Brighton-based courier company offering a wide range of delivery and distribution services across the city. Unlike conventional couriers who use diesel vans and which contribute to air pollution and congestion, we use electric-assisted cargo bikes and trikes for all our work throughout the city, which reduces air pollution and also enables us to provide a really fast and reliable service without blocking the narrow streets. Also, our team of riders are paid the real living wage, which helps in a city in which many struggle with low wages and high living costs. Services we offer include same-day express work for anything we can carry, multi-drop distribution for things like food and print products, and contract services for larger couriers like DHL, for whom we deliver parcels and express mail. We have fantastic relationships with a number of local businesses and are always keen to discuss how we can streamline your local logistics. If you'd like to get in touch, then check us out at rechargecargo.co.uk or pop down to our little depot underneath the station for a chat. Thank you.
Yes. Good timing.
All right. I had a couple of times practicing that this morning, so that was good.
That was great. Well done. I'd guessed... Number two, ready, set, go.
Hi, my name's Paul Crane. I'm owner of Eco Gym. We're a sustainable fitness facility based in Kemp Town on St James's Street. It's our second site. And how are we Eco Gym? Well, what we do is we harness human energy through the equipment that we have, through the bikes and the cross trainers, and we actually project that information on a screen in the gym so our members can understand their collective energy output. Second to that, we have an app which members can download in the gym, and then they can understand the actual individual energy contribution. And what we do with that is we actually reduce people's memberships based on the amount that they're working out. So the more you work out, the less you pay. We are the first gym in the world to get Green Circle accreditation for our energy saving exploits, and we look at everything that we do, so from the lighting, the flooring, the benches, the lockers that we have in the changing room. We're very much a sustainable outfit. We have great joining fee, zero joining fee, $29.95 a month, and come on down, check us out, eco-gym.co.uk.
Nailed it. How was that? Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah.
You're quite unique, aren't you?
Very unique, yeah.
You're the only eco gym in the UK.
Only eco gym in the UK, yeah. We're very serious about it. We're very serious about reducing our carbon emissions and making a difference in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was this, so this was something that, did you see it elsewhere or did you come up with this? Or?
No, I mean, I've always been around fitness. I used to be general manager for Virgin Active, and I've always thought that it'd be great to be able to harness human energy through equipment. And we work with a partner called SportsArt who really pioneer this type of equipment in the industry.
Yeah. And Sam, I've read on your website that you take up to 300 kilogram deliveries, so there's someone with really strong legs there. Maybe you could use someone who goes to the gym a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we do have a team of fantastic riders who are extremely fit and healthy and really positive about it, but they do get a bit of a boost because all of our bikes and the larger three-wheeled trikes have electric motors that give them a bit of assistance on the hills, which really is essential in Brighton with the hills we have. So yeah, it's really important.
And what inspired you to set up your business?
Well, I I've got a background in geography and the environment, and I wanted to base myself in Brighton, and I've always loved cycling, and I just kind of looked at where they might overlap, and there it was, delivering things by bike, but with a twist, looking more at online retail and parcels rather than the traditional idea of a messenger with a backpack herring it around town. And so, we're much more of a professional courier company, following the rules and with a lot of care and attention out on the streets.
Mm. I recorded a chamber breakfast. This is a chamber debate a while ago, and they talked about should the car be banned in Brighton, which is quite interesting. I don't know if you have any kind of thoughts on that. Obviously, what you do must kind of reduce the problems on the roads because you don't have big vans. And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, our main objective is to replace the conventional van movements for deliveries, and that's going through the roof as retail moves online and more stuff is being delivered to our homes. There's no more road space for all those vans, and so the idea is to try and replace those vans with operations within the city that are sustainable and clean so that we don't contribute to air pollution and congestion.
Mm. And Paul, I've got to ask you about these kind of surf classes.
It's called Surf Set Fitness. It's huge in the States at the moment. We recently became the first gym in the UK to ship the boards in and offer classes. So outside of London, we're the only facility to actually have these boards. And they're great, all body workout and kind of simulate actually being on the water itself, but inside.
Yeah, because, you know, some people like to go and pump some iron and run and stuff like that, but some people need a bit more, something different to retain their interest, don't they?
Absolutely, and that's very much in our minds. You know, we try and offer a varied group exercise program. We do limit the numbers in our gym because we're kind of small, medium size, so we need to ensure that we can offer a good range of different classes, HIIT classes, holistic classes, and obviously the surf set.
Yeah, cool. And you just opened in Kemp Town.
We have, yeah.
So everyone can get along there.
Absolutely, yeah. The doors are open. We open 23rd of January. So all brand new facility, great changing rooms as well, on-site changing rooms, and some really good corporate deals we've got going on at the moment. So, if you're interested, do come down, check us out, or you can go to eco-gym.co.uk.
Excellent. And Sam, what does the future hold for your business? What's your kind of hopes for the future?
Well, It's kind of there's lots of different sides to it. We want to keep growing our business with local Brighton-based businesses as much as we can. And any of those local businesses that do need to move their goods around the city or even ship products out from the city centre, we're there to try and replace their need to expand the van fleet in-house and reduce those costs and those overheads for local businesses. One thing that's obviously a concern in Brighton is, and many UK city centres, is the high street competing with online and the rise of the big giants like Amazon. And we're working with some really interesting small companies and internet startups to create a really efficient, quick shipping product for small retailers who want to access the online market. And a partner in particular is called Wing Logistics in London, and any local businesses that ship online and have online customers but are based centrally in Brighton and Hove, look them up, because that's where we would be the subcontractor locally. Beyond that, we're always keen to partner up with the bigger couriers. Currently we do a really big amount of the work for DHL centrally in Brighton and Hove, and it's nice to work with couriers that have a progressive outlook on reducing their van fleets and the requirements for vans in the city centre. So, and then beyond that, we're always on the lookout for maybe moving beyond Brighton and Hove.
Cool.
To a second city, but that's something for the future perhaps as well.
You'll have to let us know. Let us know your news when you've got the big news to announce. And so, Paul, I bet you're going for nationwide domination with eco-gyms?
Yeah, the vision very much for eco-gym is to create a network of eco-gyms. So at the moment we make a small difference in terms of our offsetting our energy, any consumption. But on the wider scale, we'd love to be able to replicate this across the country and make a big difference. I really feel it's the future of the industry. And we're very much at the forefront of that and pioneering that move to sustainable fitness.
And what's your website if people want to find out more?
Yeah, it's eco-gym.co.uk.
Great. And Sam, what's yours?
It's rechargecargo.co.uk.
Excellent, guys. Thank you so much for coming in and taking on the elevator pitch.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Radio Reverb.
You are listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM with me, Laura Evans, sponsored by Entrepreneurial Spark. And who have we got in the studio next? I welcome back Rebecca Groves of Wired Sussex. There's a big new event going on in Brighton, helping you inspire, find and recruit the next generation of talent. Hello.
Hi, Laura.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. And you tell us, just for anyone who's been living under a rock and doesn't know what Wired Sussex do, because you're quite very prominent in Brighton, but what do you do?
Thank you. We are a membership organisation for companies working in creative, digital and IT across Sussex. And we support our members in a number of ways. We have a jobs board, so if companies are looking for talent, they can advertise on the jobs board. And we run a series of events, so we have things like breakfast sessions where we cover things like finding the right clients, IP, all the things that our members tell us are important that they want to know about, and also big kind of get-togethers and meetups. And we also give advice as well to our members.
Mm, big parties.
Big
and
parties.
I know why it's the six of like your kind of annual. Do you have a Christmas members type party?
Yeah, we have quarterly members meetups. On average, we have around 100 people coming to those. So they're really great. We have them a big one in the summer where people come along and have a drink on the terrace and a chat. And also very popular is the Christmas meetup where we have our annual Christmas jumper competition.
Nice. I mean, it's nice. A lot of Brighton kind of business organisations are actually really quite laid back and fun, and you know, you're a perfect example of that, really.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, work hard, play hard.
And talking of working hard, nice segue there. You've got a big event coming up, haven't you?
We do, yes. In March, we are running the region's largest digital skills festival. That's going to be the 15th, 16th, 17th of March. There's three discrete days, which we kind of all group together around the main theme of supporting companies to attract, retain and train talent.
Which is interesting because, you know, you've done this research, haven't you, that shows how difficult it is to find talent, to find the right talent.
Yeah, we did a big piece of research called the Brighton Fuse project, and there were lots of interesting things that came up from that. And one of them was the challenge that companies have in attracting particularly junior talent. So if you're a new company and there's maybe one or two of you and you don't know how to write a job description or put a contract together, that's one aspect of it. Or if you're a really successful company and you advertise for junior talent, you can get inundated. You know, we hear of companies that have 200 applications for a single job, and it's quite a lot of work sifting through that. So the idea of Talent 2017, the festival, is to first of all, we're having a jobs fair. So on the 15th of March, we're going to have a large jobs fair down on the seafront at the Jury's Inn. And we've run a jobs fair previously where we had 1,000 job seekers come, which was fantastic. So we're kind of basing it on that model again. And the idea is that companies can have a stall at the jobs fair, and we'll support them in kind of thinking about what they need to have at the stall, how they position their offering to job seekers. And then we're working with a lot of local universities and skills providers to make sure that we get a really great mix of job seekers coming along to that event.
Brilliant. So you're trying to bridge that gap between university and work and getting the best talent into companies. It's quite competitive, I imagine.
It is competitive. But there is a lot of opportunity in the city as well. On our jobs board, on average, we have 100 new jobs a month. So there's a lot of opportunity in the city, and it's just about connecting those dots, really.
I think I'm sure this must have been from the Fuse report that was saying that the digital sector is the second biggest industry in Brighton after tourism.
Yeah, just shy of tourism, which is really exciting. You know, Brighton is known as a tourism city, and we're really trying to spread the word about all the great digital opportunities there are here as well.
Silicon Beach.
Yes.
As long as people don't call it London by the Sea, I hate that. I'm like, I lived in London. I'm like, it's nothing like London. Yeah. That's what makes it nice, much nicer, it's much cleaner. There's less rats. And then on the second day, tell us about what you're doing then.
So the second day is what we call a skill summit, and that's where we bring together companies to explore the kind of the challenges and the opportunities around attracting, retaining, and training and retaining talent.
So, say that 10 times.
I think it was a joke that we kind of put a tongue twister in there. So the idea of that day is we've got some fantastic speakers coming, people, local companies, but also companies like eBay are coming along, and they're going to talk about how they go about, first of all, finding the right talent. So what should you be offering to employers? What are the incentives to get them to come and work at your company? Then when they're there, what's the best practice around staff development? And then how do you keep them? So when you've found the great people and you've trained them up, what are the things that keep your staff with your company?
Mm. Which could be different for different people, isn't it? I suppose it's tough. Or it's a task for people to identify what motivates a different employee.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that we will be covering things like that. So how do you get to know your staff? How do you listen to what your team want, and how do you deliver on that?
Yeah. And you've also got a third day as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so the third day is what we're calling an experience day. And this is based on a model that we use in Brighton Digital Festival called Open Studios, where local companies open their doors and allow people to come in and get a taste of what it's like to work in our sector. But this is slightly different, because what we really want to do is work with young people who are considering their options for future employment, and to allow them to have insight into the types of jobs that are available on their doorstep. So we're working with a few of our member companies and some local schools and colleges, and we're connecting them together to give the young people a taster of what it's like to work in the sector.
Oh, but I expect that businesses will mostly be involved with the first 2 days, won't they?
Yeah, so there's two main ways that companies can get involved. So we still have some stands available at the jobs fair. So if you're looking to speak to keen, enthusiastic job seekers, then that's a really great way to get involved. There is an early bird offer on those. I think there's a few left. So if you want to get involved, I'd recommend getting a stand as soon as you can. Details of that are on our website, which is widesussex.com. You could also come along to the Skills Summit. So if you are interested, or if you have members of your staff who would be interested in finding out more about attracting, training and retaining talent, then you can also get tickets on our website for that as well.
Excellent. And I expect with the jobs fair, it's not just digital companies, you probably get companies that maybe have a big marketing or digital type of team, and you know, so they're not necessarily pure digital companies, but they're still going to benefit from having a stand there and finding those employees.
Yeah, so we say that there's three different ways of looking at it. So you have either digital companies who are advertising digital jobs, or you have digital companies that are advertising non-digital jobs, so maybe a head of operations or HR position, or you could have a non-digital company who are looking for someone like a digital marketer.
Mm. Yeah, great. So just to go over the details again, when is it?
So it's Jobs Fair's on the 15th of March, the Skills Summit is on the 16th of March, and the Experience Day is on the 17th of March.
And where is it?
The Jobs Fair's at the Jury's Inn, down on the seafront. The Skills Summit is being hosted by one of our sponsors, who are City College Brighton and Hove. So I'm really excited to host an event that's about skills and development within a kind of educational institution. So that's going to be really cool. And then the Experience Day will be taking place in some of the company's offices.
Okay. And I'll leave you to kind of work out with people how much a stand will cost, but how much is the second day, the summit?
So the Skills Summit is £19 if you're a Wired Sussex member, or it is £49 if you're not.
Excellent. And if people want to find out more, what's your website?
It's all on our website, which is widesussex.com.
And you've got a page there, it's Talent 2017.
That's right,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Great. Excellent. Rebecca, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Laura. Nice to see you.
Help support Reverb by making a donation. We're a non-profit organisation entirely run by volunteers. No matter how big or small the amount, your help is essential to keep us on air and advert-free. Donate now.
Donate now.
Click the yellow donate button at radioreverb.com.
Time for Tales of Everyday Business Folk with Julia Chanterade. Catherine's story continues.
I'm Julia Chanteray. This is a tale of everyday business folk following the story of Catherine and how she faces her business challenges. Catherine has lost her yummy but exhausting job in London working for a content marketing agency. She's bored out of her mind with nothing to do except apply for jobs that she's not really into, worried silly about how she's going to pay the rent, and the only thing that's given her any excitement and satisfaction over the last few weeks has been writing some marketing copy and a strategy paper for a client of her friend Claire, who runs a PR agency in Brighton. Catherine is bored again. She goes out for a run along the seafront in the rain and ends up in Morocco's restaurant eating a plate of pasta she can't really afford. Something is bugging her. I've really enjoyed doing that work for Ryan, Claire's client, and I'm happy to help Claire out, and she was really grateful. The flowers were nice too, but there's something not quite right here. Claire had sent a huge bouquet of lilies to Catherine's flat on Friday, and although they were beautiful, Catherine couldn't help working out how much the flowers must have cost, and thinking that she would have much rather had the money, or a Sainsbury's voucher so she could buy food without feeling that all her money was slipping away. She pictured a big hamper full of tins of cat food and maybe a voucher for the vet, and smiled at how much more useful and thoughtful that would have been. She'd taken the flowers round to her mum's at the weekend, so that had saved her some money on taking a Mother's Day gift. Catherine realised that she was going to have a difficult conversation with Claire about money, and how Claire needed to actually give her some, particularly if Claire's client Ryan, or anyone else, was going to need any more content written up. She picked up the phone to ask Claire for a job. As she scrolled down her contact list, her hand paused. Claire isn't going to give me a job. And I don't want to work for Claire. We went to school together, and I know what a nightmare she can be. I love her, but she'd be a nightmare of a boss. Catherine realises that she's talking to herself out loud in an Italian restaurant. She finishes her pasta, her panicked brain whirring with all the possibilities. What do you think Catherine should do? Has she thought about working for herself? Is she going to be a freelance copywriter? Is she going to work for flowers? And are the cats going to be okay? Tune in next time for the next instalment of Tales of Everyday Business Folk.
So that was a short episode, but believe you me, it's all about to kick off next time. Tune in next month for more Tales of Everyday Business Folk. What was the moment that you thought it's time to get out there, go it alone and set up my own business? What was your motivator? A bad week at work, a bad boss, boredom? Or maybe you're about to be tipped over the edge? Tweet me at Laura of Brighton. I'll give you a mention on the show. Not if you're about to leave your company, obviously. But find out more about Julia at thejoyofbusiness.co.uk. This is the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM with me, Laura Evans. And we are sponsored by Entrepreneurial Spark, powered by NatWest, the world's largest free business accelerator for early stage and growing ventures. If you've been listening to the show, you will have heard a series of interviews with the Chicklets on the programme, talking about their inspiration for setting up their business, the hardships, the challenges, how they overcome them, their advice, and just a bit of inspiration. So this month I spoke to Mojo Coffee.
My name's Annette Fowler and I'm one of the co-founders of Mojo Coffee House, which has two branches here in Brighton.
My name's Carl Simpson, also a co-founder of Mojo Coffee. Been in the restaurant business and catering business in Brighton for the last 40 years. I've been looking at doing coffee for a long time. I went over to the States and heard about the coffee scene in New York in 95. And I looked around all the shops and the coffee shops and looked at what they were doing there. And eventually we've done it back here in Brighton with the coffee scene changing in the UK.
When we first looked at opening Mojo's, we realised that although there is an amazing artisan coffee scene here in Brighton, there still is a lot of work to do in terms of a decent meal offering. And that's what we wanted to do with Mojo's. And with Carl's background on you know, in the food scene and hospitality, we've been able to do that. So not only can you come and drink amazing coffee, but you can also have delicious meals at the same time. And it seemed to be that there was a need for that. Well, I've spent the last 25 years working in corporate marketing and training and sales, so totally different. I do rely a lot on Carl in terms of all of his hospitality experience, but that gives us a different way of looking at things, really, and has helped us to expand the business and make it a lot more marketable. I was at a point in my career where I was a little bit fed up with the corporate life. People often dream of having their own restaurant or their own cafe and that sort of thing. It's a tough gig if you've never had that experience. So working together with Carl, it has really helped. And it's very nerve-wracking to step away from a long-term job. But you look at the kind of skills that you can obtain in the corporate world, and they are so transferable. At my time in my life, it has just been so rewarding to be able to take all of those skills and do something for ourselves that we can build up for our family in the future. And, you know, there's no time like the present, so you might feel like you're too old to do it, but absolutely no, get on and do it, because there's a lot of support also for small businesses, and here at eSpark, it's been superb for that. Very supportive. They've opened our eyes up to a lot of things here that are available for us that we weren't aware of. It's constant networking. There's obviously a bunch of other chiclets here that are all looking to do similar things, and we can share resources and help each other out. You know, you could feel very alone as a small business owner if you wanted to, but there is so much there for you that you can tap into. So it's been a huge help.
We've met people here that are very interesting, that we've helped each other. We've got a common goal. We both, all of us, want to expand our business and make it more successful. And it kind of breeds that sort of idea that you really, really want to improve yourself. Some of the paperwork we've been given is, whilst it is a lot, it is adding to our experience and making us more, it actually has to make us more scalable. It helped us to show us what we needed to do to make us attractive to financial support.
I mean, one of the important things that we've managed to realise from opening the first Mojo's was that the community here in Brighton was very much looking for a community hub, if you like. And we've been really happy to realise that certainly our first Mojo's on Lewis Road has really become that. And people have made friends there. They've got to meet people there. They got to know people there. And we've had customers say, oh, I don't go to the pub anymore. I go to Mojo's. There's something really exciting about that. And we hope that our other branches will attract the same kind of feeling too.
This is Radio Reverbs, the Brighton Business Show, sponsored by Entrepreneurial Spark. I'm Laura Evans. Tweet me at Laura of Brighton. You're listening to 97.2 FM or maybe on DAB Radio online at radioreverb.com or via podcast on iTunes or laura-brighton.podomatic.com. Now, we're talking about having vision in your business with Susan Carroll of Scala Advance. Hello.
Hello, Laura.
How are you?
I'm really well, thanks.
You've been chilling out in your class today?
I have. I've come straight from an exercise in the studio, a Pilates class. It's really good. Like many things over in Hove, it was a great studio over in Hove. Really nice.
You're centred and ready for the interview now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope so.
And for people who are listening, they might not have heard of what you do. Tell us about what you actually do. It's very interesting what you do.
Yeah, well, I suppose it might be good to actually even say who I am. And obviously, it's the Brighton Business Show. I don't sound like I'm from Brighton, do I? You may have noticed that I have an Irish accent. So I grew up, I went to school and was educated in Ireland. And funny enough, my very first visit to England, I was 9 years of age, and we came with my family on a trip to London. And a few years ago, An old neighbour of mine, sadly she's died now, and her family were clearing out her house, but Bridie had kept every single piece of correspondence, letter, postcard that anyone had ever sent her, and they passed on to me a postcard I sent when I was 9 from London, and it had Dear Anne, who was, you know, my age in the family, Dear Anne and Love Susan, and there were two sentences in between which said, I love England, I want to come and live in England. Now, that wasn't especially in my head when I did come to England to live. After I finished university, Ireland wasn't the place in the 1980s that it is today. Mm. At the beginning of the decade, 8% of graduates were leaving the country. By the end of the decade, 30%, a whopping 30% of graduates had left the country. And I came over on that wave, really. It was called the brain drain. But I came to England, I came to Brighton. I worked at American Express for many years, and it was there I learned a lot about leadership and teams and business. And 12 years ago, I set up my own business called Scala Advance. And what we do is we work with people to help them become better leaders, really. I think it's so important in the workplace. We spend a lot of time at work. Leadership has a huge impact on people, and that's what we do. We help you. If you're a new leader, we can help to build your confidence and give you lots of support and ideas and help you work out who you are as a leader. And if you're an established leader, we can help you transition into other jobs or really just, think about all of those things that are so important. Mm. So that's a bit about me and a bit about what we do.
You're doing very well to kind of compress that into
if we're on the Brighton Business Show and people are going, what have I tuned into RTE1 or something, the Irish radio station?
No, we actually have an Irish show on the channel called What's the Crack.
Oh, do you?
With Anthony Martin. It's awesome.
Oh, I think I've actually called that. Yeah. And that is crack, spelled C-R-A-I-C, by the way. Not any other kind of crack, right?
Yeah, that would be a different station.
Yeah, it just means fun and talk and laughter and music, yeah. Really. And get-togethers,
And I know that you deal with like very high level executives and experience and this kind of high level coaching, but also the other end of business is it's just as important to have those leadership skills. And we'll talk later about a workshop that you'll do for those kind of people.
And although I do, and I travel a lot in my work, travel around Europe and do work with a lot of senior people and boards and directors and people like that. I also work with businesses locally as well, Laura, and I think that's tremendously exciting, startups that are growing successful businesses. I mean, whatever stage a business is at, everyone has their challenges, whether you're a big successful company around the world or whether you're a kind of bootstrap startup, everyone has got their worries and stresses about scaling and growing and leadership.
It's a lot of pressure really for business leaders. I mean, maybe there's one person at the top of a company or at the top of a department or a couple of people, but there's still a lot of pressure on a few people there to kind of take that responsibility on their shoulders.
Well, it is, yes, and I would also say that we almost impose that pressure on people as well. We expect people to be these hero type leaders who know the answer to everything. And I don't actually think that's what leadership is. I think leadership is about getting a team of people around you and developing those people and helping those people to grow and learn and develop and working on things together. And I suppose that's where vision comes in. Mm. That's why I think vision is so important. I was actually doing a session with somebody, with a group of people last year, and there was an HR manager attending, and the idea of this vision session is I do go in and work with organisations and teams and ask them to really think about their vision. And surprisingly enough, I suppose this came about because early in my own startup I realised the number of people who were very busy day to day doing lots of things, but they hadn't really worked out what their vision was. And I find it so important because it helps you build a snapshot of the future of what your business is like. It's very it can be very visionary, very aspirational, it's very compelling, but the The thing is, it's not the end result. I mean, sometimes people think of vision and think of this, oh, it's vision, mission thingy, big corporate thing. Mm. And you hear horror stories of people who spend days and days in rooms and you know, wordsmith this perfect little phrase which ends up on a wall or in a virtual document gathering dust. And, you know, people can't relate to that. But anyway, I was in this session doing this vision work, and this HR manager said to me, because the whole team was involved and everyone was there having conversations and, you know, doing the cutting and pasting and everything. We'll get to that. But he was there and he said to me, we've never done anything like this before. Actually, in my experience, we just give people the vision and tell them to get on with it. And I said, yeah, I know that's what happens a lot of the time. People go, here's a vision statement, just get on with it. And people don't connect to that at all. Mm. But I think that is really the power of the vision sessions that I run, is that people get involved, people have those conversations. It's not some perfect wordsmithed sentence that you want to end up with, although if you do, that's great for you. But actually the power is in the conversations that you have and that people have, and gets them excited and motivated. Yeah,
it's much more than, it's not we're not talking about a mission statement, we're not talking about targets.
No,
it's something different.
I can tell you what the visions, and we are, like, obviously I want to let people know that there is a vision session coming up. I'm fairly involved in the local community through the Brighton and Hove Chamber of Commerce, and I actually ran a session for, I've been doing some work with the board with Sarah Springford and her team and the board, and I ran a vision session from them, and they got so much from it. And I did a session at the Brighton and Hove Chamber Summit as well.
I went to that and it was excellent, and I cannot recommend enough for people to go along to these sessions and how useful it was. And it was fun and it was playful, and we were sticking things together and drawing and stuff, but the outcome of it is clarity. Something can be fun, but also incredibly useful and for your business and strategy.
Yeah, and I think you were saying it's definitely, you know, we can tell people what it's definitely not. It's not a big vision, mission, corporate thingy. It's not a business plan. It's not a big formal document. But what it is it's a way of building a picture for the future. And we do a bit of cutting and pasting. And I think really that gets people out of their heads,
yeah,
and maybe a little bit out of their comfort zone as well. I mean, people sometimes do arrive and go, oh, I'm not sure I want to do this. And I've had people say at the end, you know, I really didn't want to do that whole kind of cutting and telling the story. It's stepping into the future. I mean, there's no actual teleporting involved there, Laura, but it is about stepping into the future. And at the end, they'll go, yeah, but you know what? It was actually great. And the word that keeps coming up, you said it, clarity. It brings clarity. It brings a great focus. That's what people say about it,
yeah,
as well. Keeps you focused, brings a focus. I think what it does as well is it helps to really simplify your decision making, because once you've stepped into that future space, if we can call it that, once you've stepped into the future, you start to see very clearly the things that need to happen in order for you to get there. And I think that's really, it's very simple really, and it's fun, as you said. Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for fun and creativity when it comes to trying to step away from the business. And that's a problem with a lot of business leaders, is that you're right in there every day and you never get this chance for this kind of overview, which is what the thing that really moves the business forward. Yeah, the day-to-day stuff is important, but you have to have this kind of ability to step back and think about what you're actually going to, where you're going and why.
Yeah, I agree totally. Yeah, it's great. Well put.
Yeah. And so this event that you have coming up, tell us about that.
I will.
So it's one of the Chamber workshop.
So the Brighton and Hove Chamber of Commerce run a series of what they call bite-size sessions. So they're great. They do things like PR or productivity or growing your business. And this one is called Create a Vision, Create Success. And it's on the 1st of March. It's from 9:30 to 11:30, so just 2 hours. You know, it's for you to step into it and give this a go, really. You can achieve a lot in 2 hours, actually. It's at the County Cricket Ground in Hove. Mm-hmm. It's a great venue. Did I say it was on the 1st of March?
Yes.
Yes. And you can book through the Chamber of Commerce. To go on their website and there's a link that you can click through to and book. And it's at a chambertastic price as well. Shall I mention the price?
Yes. Chambertastic. Brilliant.
It's if you're not a member of the Chamber, it's £49.
Yeah.
And if you are a member, it's £39. So... yeah, great incentive to
go. I know they're going to listen to this and they're going to love that, the chamber testing thing. Hello, ladies.
Well, it is really, because it would be very difficult for a business to offer this kind of thing at that kind of price. So
yeah.
It is a great opportunity. I'm a big fan of the chamber and it's helped me a lot in my business.
Yeah,
so
these sessions
super,
are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely great.
Yeah, and so their website is businessinbrighton.org.uk. I'll put a link... in the show copy, so to the event, if people want to check it out there. Have you got maybe a couple of tips for people when it comes to leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. Tips, where do we start? I guess I'd have to start with vision. You know, we're talking about vision. So my top tip is have a clear vision and share and communicate that. It's not about the end result, the sentence. It's about the conversations, the dialogue that you have along the way. I would also say know yourself, know who you are as a leader and the impact you're having on people. So work out your leadership style and work on it. So that's work out and work on your leadership style. But both of those tips, I guess, take a lot of reflection and time. So my immediate tip for people... if they're thinking about their teams, is to go out and say thank you to people. Be really specific.
That's nice.
About the person, you know, and what they've done and the contribution that they've made.
Yeah.
And how it's made a difference and a contribution in your business. And do it next week and do it the week after and the week after. And in that way, in those small behavioural steps, you start to build and you start to create a culture of appreciation, of valuing others.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most people, Laura, want to come to work and feel appreciated and valued and that they're doing meaningful work. And that's a very simple way of doing it. So that's my top leadership tip.
I think that's brilliant. That's a fantastic tip. And, you know, people can do that. And the idea that the tip about working out how you affect other people, like, because you really do. A lot of people, when they leave a job, they leave a manager, don't they? Not the job itself. People really, like you say, they want to come in, they want to do a good job, and a great manager or a leader kind of enables them to do that.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about as well is like a great simple way just to inspire people, make
Absolutely.
Them feel really good about themselves.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people often think leadership is something that is for other people and it's something that you either have it or you don't. Actually, you develop your leadership over time. You develop it, you know, during the rough and the smooth, and especially during the rough and adverse circumstances. And actually, it is a series of behaviours. And if you look at the consistency of your behaviours, you know, and how consistent they are, that's really, really important. Can I give one more tip, though, about vision in particular? I think sometimes people, if you're in a small business, a smaller business, you may think, oh, vision sounds very grand. It's for other people. You know, every successful big company has started as a bootstrap startup at some point, and it is absolutely for everyone who's in business. But that's my top tip is, you know, if you can't get along to the session or, you know, it's not for you or something. But my tip is find time, take yourself out of your business, like go into your diary, take out a chunk of time and go off and do some reflection about the future and what problem are you solving and who are you helping and what is the market looking like. And, you know, we hear about the digital frontier that we're at as well. What's happening in the world of tech and digital and innovation, and how will that all affect your business as well? So spend some time, and if you're on your own and you think, I haven't got anyone to talk to, get out there and get a mentor or find someone to talk to, or, you know, find some opportunities to discuss these things.
There's another great thing about the chamber is the peer-to-peer stuff. So, you know, I found when I go in and I'm like, you have ups and downs with business and you're going through one of the difficult periods, and you can go in there and go, I feel like I'm losing my mind, and they'll go, no, we went through this, and you know, this is what we did, and you know, you're not alone in feeling the pressure, of course, that anyone would feel running a business.
And it's great to hear those stories, and everyone has their struggles in business and times when they have felt alone and isolated and that it's tough and there's too much to do and they're maxed out. And yeah, it's definitely really important to have a network around you. I agree.
So just for anyone that wants to check out your website, what is it?
It's my website is Scala Advance. That's Scala, S-C-A-L-A with a hyphen, advance.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Laura. It's been a pleasure. Thank
Cheers,
you very
Susan.
Much.
Cheers.
Bye.
Log on to RadioReverb.com. RadioReverb.com. Where you can check out our shows and presenters, find out about our events,
and about how you can support us and donate some cash.
I've seen it and I'm convinced.
RadioReverb.com.
RadioReverb.com.
The place to find out more about Brighton's best radio station.
Best radio station.
It's that time again.
Sophie's marketing negative.
You've added that bit on.
Yes. I added it on because you are the most glamorous person I know. So I was like, it needs to have like a pop, a kind of a champagne bottle.
Oh. It's definitely not cheesy at all.
And then a group of happy children.
Great. Champagne, then children.
Yes. Because I imagine that's how the listeners feel when this section comes on. They're like, yay.
Yay, let's pop open the champagne. Yay.
You could even tweet us. I'm getting really lonely. I know people are listening because they tell me, oh, I heard you're talking about this in the radio. And I was like, why don't you tweet me?
Tweet us. Tweet us. We like to feel popular.
Yes, at Laura of Brighton.
At Turton Sophie.
Anyway, at Turton Sophie, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm in good spirits. I've just come from a lovely networking thing with some ladies to talk to them about content, which, as you know, is my favourite thing to talk about. So
yeah, you've been doing another talk.
Yes, I have been doing another talk. Well, it wasn't really a talk. It was more like a kind of workshop discussion where they asked me some questions about where they should put their content, how often, all these kind of questions you have when you've just started and you've heard this content marketing is important, but what do I do with it?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great. It was really good.
And today we are talking about
content marketing.
So we're talking about ideas, like where to source your ideas, which I think, like you say, people kind of get into this and maybe it's a bit of a sticking point. Where do you even start?
Yeah, I think that the rule of thumb, really, that what I always ask myself before I do any type of content is, you know, what are my audience talking about already? What are the questions that they're asking? And I mean, especially for service industries, you know your customers best, and you know what the sort of things that they're concerned about and what issues they have, because they ask you about it. And content really is just about identifying these issues and then offering a solution through the content in one way or another, and educating about something while building your brand and building that trust and authenticity as well. So that's the first thing, is like what they're talking about, how you can sort of infiltrate that conversation with your content, not in a creepy way. So, you know, how you can communicate the solution, what form that might take. I mean, I'm a writer, so that's sort of obviously the thing that I get most excited about, but there's loads of ways to do it, like Laura, a videographer.
Maybe video or podcast.
Yeah, there's so many options. Or, you know, an infographic or a GIF. I'm not really a fan of GIFs, to be honest, but people like them. This is the most important thing, is why should they care? Like, what is it that you have to say that's different from what other people are saying? That will be your kind of USP and the unique angle that you have as a business and as an individual on these topics. So don't be afraid to kind of really bring out your sort of fire in that and bring out a little bit of your unique perspective. Don't just say what everyone else is saying.
Yeah. So might you kind of test the waters a bit with your, if you've got a following on Facebook or Twitter, so on your social media, maybe, I mean, obviously you must see people asking questions there, but maybe you can test a little bit about content, how it might interest people.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, I would always say sort of ask people, what is it? It's some industries, it's really obvious what people will want to know. You know, like, for example, an estate agent might talk about guides to selling your house. It's obvious that people will want to know about things like that. But then, yeah, ask them what it is that they would most, what their biggest kind of issues are in their life around this theme or topic. And ask your existing customers too, like send out surveys, find out what it is that they most value about your service and what it is that problems that they had and the things that they were, like their fears, I guess, before they found your service. Because that's essentially what you're doing, is people buy based on, you know, impulses a lot of the time, but it's a psychological thing. They buy because they feel like it's going to, in one way or another, make their lives better. And that can be really, really shown through identifying certain issues and writing about them or videographising.
That is the technical term. And you were saying about have an opinion and be different. I think that's interesting because it's a bit scary as well to kind of put yourself out there. Or, you know, maybe you have to be a bit careful about having opinions being too extreme.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I would say things like political opinions are kind of not necessary. It's, you know, it's not an area to kind of wax lyrical about things like that. But it's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily have to be controversial, but it's just to show the passion that you have. Because presumably you do have a passion for what you're doing, otherwise why are you doing it? So it's kind of, you know, it's just about showing that and showing what it is that you can bring to the table. Because obviously we're all in competition, there's so many different businesses and only so many different, you know, needs and ideas out there, but there is going to be something that's unique about yours. I mean, I as a writer obviously have a massive ego and think everyone should listen to what I have to say, so it's a bit difficult, you know, and I do understand that there is a lot of the time there is that mental block. And a lot of people don't see themselves as writers. And I think that that's fine too, because you might not necessarily be putting out a blog, but you might be putting out, I don't know, like a tip of the week about something to do with your industry, or it really can be anything in any format, even if you just want to do it as a tweet. You know, it's just about adding value to your audience.
It's interesting because it seems... I feel like that we look at it's such a politicised environment in the world at the moment. It's really difficult for businesses to not have some kind of political involvement or opinion. It's almost quite difficult for some people to step away from that, and some are embracing it and using it and riding on the back of it. But I kind of agree with you.
I just think, you know, why isolate an audience? Because, yes, and I mean, in Brighton, we do live in this bubble, and we are surrounded generally by open-minded people, and that's great. But actually, you know, that kind of echo chamber thing of, you know, writing about your political rants on Facebook, but them only be seen by people who actually believe what you believe, is kind of true. And I feel like it doesn't solve anything to just... make other people feel bad about themselves just because they don't agree with your opinion. And especially as a business, I think it's kind of counterintuitive to what you're trying to achieve.
It's risky. Maybe depending on the kind of business you are. Some businesses is part of who they are. Maybe, you know... environmental type businesses.
And, yeah. But even then, you know, you don't want to be like... You know, being ecologically friendly is great and the rest of you... suck, like, you know, it's a way to do it, because surely the whole point is to educate those who aren't already bought into your ideas, and that surely is, especially for these kind of advocacy type businesses, it's actually a much bigger win if you get somebody who maybe wasn't agreeing with that on side. And the way to do that is through clever communication and discussion, and not just going, "You're wrong." Doesn't really work like that.
We're getting so deep today.
I know, we were deep last time too. It's 2017. We are really, really deep.
Another place maybe to take content ideas is competitor research.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Are we allowed to steal ideas? Or
sure, yeah. There's only so many ideas you can have yourself. See what your competitors are talking about, what is working for them, what is not working for them, why as well. You know, do a bit of analysis and market research on why these things are important. and what unique angle you can take on that. Don't just copy, obviously. But the, you know, if it's working, there's a reason for it. And if they've got the same audience as you, the reason for it is because your audience care about that sort of thing. And there's also quite a lot of different tools. I can't remember the name of it, and it's really annoying me. But there's a, it's a tool where you can type in your kind of area, and it shows you all the questions that people have asked. I can't remember. I'll have to say next time.
Yeah, if you remember, I'll put it in the copy.
Yeah, that'd be, yeah. It's a really good tool, and it basically just shows you, because I often think good content answers a kind of question, not necessarily a question as such, but it answers an issue with a solution, or, you know, it kind of, even if that solution, even if that issue is just wanting to escape and read about, you know, the Kardashians, you're doing it for a reason. And once you understand what the people's reasons are, you can really create much harder hitting content that they actually are going to engage with.
Yeah. And any other kind of tips or things when it comes to ideas generation?
With ideas generation, yeah, I think also analysing what you have done previously, looking in Google Analytics and seeing, not just seeing, you know, the traffic, because obviously that's important, that will give you a good idea of the sort of topics that are interesting to your client client base or your target client base or are not, but also to then kind of use that to create other kind of content around similar issues. And a good way of doing that is to sort of, you know, do like a series of content that is all around a sort of very important issue, and but that you separated out into maybe three or four different posts that then kind of keep the momentum going. But yeah, always analyze what trends are. You can, there's a lot of different tools. My brain is like totally gone.
We need to get you a copy, Sophie.
I know. There's quite a lot of different tools out there, which I will send to Laura, and she'll put in the copy, which you can use to find out what people are searching for. And there's one that's really, really good that's free, that you can find out what articles around the specific topic have already done well, and what kind of angles they took on that. And then you can kind of use the ideas with that to then create your own as well.
Yeah, excellent. And I guess people just need to do it. Just do it. Make some content. See how it goes. Get some feedback.
Yeah,
iterate. But start doing it.
Just,
don't wait.
Yeah, just do it. Like, practice on us when you tweet us your really, really well thought out tweet.
Yeah, it can be a little thing, it can be a big thing, it could be a video, a podcast, an article.
An infographic.
But not a GIF.
Not a GIF.
No GIFs for Sophie.
I just find them really annoying. Like, why are we communicating constantly in GIFs and memes all the time? And what is that stupid stuff that people put on memes?
What do you mean?
Like, the stupid copy that doesn't even mean anything and is grammatically wrong.
Like, I can has cheeseburgers.
I hate it so much.
But it's cultural. It's, like, funny because it's like an onion. It's got layers.
My little brother.
It's like a puzzle. We're going to work it out.
It's not a puzzle. It's bad grammar with a stupid picture. My little brother always says that, like, that Doge meme. Like, what is that?
Right, well, you know what to tweet to Sophie now to annoy her. Do you know there's a company that make T-shirts with, like, film references on, and it will just be a bit wrong. Like, it will be the catch line from one film and an imagery from another, or it will be, like, some of the words will be wrong. And it's like they make these T-shirts to irritate people like you, basically.
It sounds awful. I don't know why. Like, I just don't like that sort of thing at all.
Because you like proper grammar. You're a writer.
I'm very highbrow.
I love memes. So I'm very lowbrow.
It's all right. We balance each other out, Laura.
I wrote my MA dissertation about, like, viral advertising and memes and stuff.
Oh, good. So, oh, good.
I won't make you read it.
I'm sure it was great.
But, yeah. No, I find it quite interesting. But, Enough on that. So have you got any more kind of events that you're going to be speaking at coming up?
Potentially Brighton SEO.
Ooh.
Again, maybe. I think that's potential in either April or September. I'm not sure yet. I am writing an article about... what am I writing an article? Oh, award-winning campaigns for the Brighton SEO magazine. So pick it up, read it.
Cool.
And we at Bosbos, we're kind of creating some workshops for small businesses specifically. And so I'm kind of really focusing on that. And
Yeah,
so that's exciting.
So is that something that's in the planning at the moment? There's no dates set for the workshops?
No dates specifically yet, but probably end of March, because I really want to get it off the ground. And I think there's a really big demand for that kind of thing, for sort of one-man bands.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have different tiered sort of thing with it. So it's really exciting. So watch this space.
Yeah.
And then come to my workshops.
So what's the website for that? Is Bosbos.com?
Bosbos.co.uk.
.co.uk.
But yeah, I'll let you know in the next month, next one, what that's about. It'll be a really exciting opportunity, I think.
Cool. And if anyone's interested in Brighton SEO, which is just a great conference talking about,
so
SEO,
good.
But marketing generally, and it's fun, it's free.
You won't be able to go for April unless you've already got a ticket, because tickets sell out in 2 minutes. But there is another one in September.
Yeah, there are some paid tickets. I don't know if they have many left, but they do. If you could pay as a friend of Brighton SEO, or you can buy a workshop. They do workshops the day before, and then you get entrance to the conference. But check out brightonseo.com. Just get on the mailing list, because it's all the information and knowledge that comes through there is just incredible. We're so lucky to have that in Brighton.
Yeah, it's amazing. I did a talk there in September on user-generated content, and it was just the amount of kind of buzz around when you're doing a talk. It's just people really appreciate it, and I think that there's a real camaraderie, I think, there. Everyone's kind of got a really good attitude and just wants to help each other out and learn. And
It's good fun, and it has to be every 6 months as well.
Yeah.
We're talking about it being in April and September, it has to be every 6 months, because as soon as you've learnt something, it's going to become outdated.
Yeah, well, this is a problem, isn't it? It's just a bit overwhelming, isn't it? The constant development within the industry is oh, God, keep up.
Does make it fun to be a marketer. The fun life of marketing.
Oh, yeah, we make it sound so sexy.
Thank you, Sophie, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll chat to you next month.
Yeah, have a lovely week, Brighton businesses.
There's there was a little ping of light from her teeth as she did that, ting. You've been listening to the Brighton Business Show with Laura Evans on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB Radio, or online at radioreverb.com, maybe even by podcast. Search iTunes or visit laura-brighton.podomatic.com and make sure you subscribe. Thank you to today's guests and contributors, and to our sponsors, Entrepreneurial Spark. Thanks for listening, and catch you next month.